You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Hey, you want that to go?
We've got some takeouts on news stories this week. Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke has finally gotten his second term. Considerable delays on that in the Senate. I guess it's not a surprise. No nominee for Fed chief has ever been rejected by the Senate. But Bernanke did get more no votes than any other Fed Reserve chairman in history. Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Was the confirmation ever truly in doubt?
There were times when it was in doubt because after several really conservative Republicans, Celeste, and then a couple of liberal Democrats and independents started to really hammer on Bernanke the last few weeks, you know, for standing by during the housing crisis, helping cause the credit crisis at the Fed, and then doing not enough to stop it. As more people piled on in this sort of populist environment, it was in question for a little while. You know, last weekend, the Senate leadership and several senators made sure to come out strongly and make strong statements that they were all going to vote for Bernanke, and that probably staunched the bleeding. Ben Bernanke got absolutely hammered by some senators against him on the floor the last couple of days. And the people who were for him, to be honest, made tepid statements. They didn't say all that much. So he did get confirmed. He got 70 votes under final passage yesterday. But then the question is, is Ben Bernanke damaged? And I asked Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee. He's on the banking committee. You know, has Ben Bernanke been scathed and damaged by this whole thing? Listen to this.
You know, look, I yes. I mean, you'd have to be asleep to not say that both the Fed as an institution and him as a person haven't been damaged in this whole, what I would call, tawdry process.
Tawdry process, he calls it. Is he talking
tawdry
about his, I assume he's talking about the entire banking crisis and not just the confirmation hearings.
No, I think he is. He's talking about the entire banking crisis. He's been talking about mounting federal debt, bailouts for both autos and banks and AIG. That's what he's talking about. Tawdry indeed.
So maybe we can move on now? This is a closed issue?
Yeah, almost a closed issue. You know, the Senate also had to vote yesterday on raising the federal debt ceiling. This is something the federal government has to do. This is the federal government's borrowing authority, okay?
Right.
And they did finally vote to raise it to over $14.2 trillion. That was the final vote. That's our federal debt ceiling now. But in this populist environment, all the concern about mounting debt, you know, the president the other night, Celeste, called for bipartisanship. This got 60 votes, all Democrats, every Republican standing by and letting the Democrats vote for this thing that has to pass. They just hung them out to dry.
Way to start off the right way, huh?
Hung them out to dry.
Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick.
I'd like to raise my own debt ceiling. You think American Express would go for that?
No. $13 trillion? No.
Sports takeout now. Let's go to the other side of the world, shall we, where the balls spin in the other direction, I believe. Roger Federer has just defeated Joe Wilfried Tsonga in straight sets at the Australian Open semifinal. Here's the call from the last hour.
Still match point. More satisfaction than the jubilation. Yeah. He came in prepared for a fight, and he got instead a nice light hour and 28-minute sparring session.
You've got to love tennis on the radio. Sports Illustrated writer John Wertheim is on location with the latest from the Australian Open. John, it sounds like Federer had a relatively easy match today, straight sets. Was that expected?
This was more decisive than Bernanke's second confirmation hearing. I think he did not get as much resistance as a lot of us thought he would. He cruised through, and I mean, the good news is we have a very compelling final, but tonight's match will not be replayed as a classic.
All right, let's talk about Murray versus Federer. Andy Murray, that is, of Great Britain. Great Britain had long drought in Grand Slam victories. Who's going to win?
That's a good question. I think Murray has a real chance. He actually has a winning record against Federer. And, it's tough to bet you don't want to bet a zero-time Grand Slam champ against a 15-time Grand Slam champ. I mean, I think Federer's the favorite. But Murray's been playing fantastically well. And I think, I think he's got a real shot here.
All right. And quickly, Serena Williams facing Justine Henin in the women's final. What are your thoughts on that one?
Another good one. I like Justine Henin, who's played a lot less tennis than Serena Williams. I think the conditions will make a difference, but Justine Henin's game is so versatile and complete. It's like nothing Serena's faced in a long time. And, you know, it'd be a great story. This is obviously her first major back after this 18-month retirement she had. And, again, we got two great finals. So a lot of sort of strange twists and turns to get here, but we ended up with quite a nice weekend of tennis.
Fun thing to watch over the weekend. John Wertheim with Sports Illustrated. Thank you.
For last take, we're going to go to you, our listeners. We got lots of responses to the conversation on race after Chris Matthews said he forgot the president was black for a moment during the State of the Union. Here's one listener's point about the president.
This is Cindy calling from Detroit. I have yet to hear him say he is black. The media and everyone, hoo-hoo-ha-ha, our black president. Who coined the phrase, if you have a drop of black blood, you're black? Think about it, and think of what he did in history.
It wasn't actually somebody coined the phrase. There were actually laws during the Jim Crow era that said, if you have one drop of black blood, you are black.
Here's a post from our website. Thetakeaway.org is the location. I am indifferent about Chris Matthews' statement because I really don't believe that he meant any derogatory meanings behind it. In fact, I believe he was trying to compliment President Obama, but because of the color of Matthews' skin, I feel it puts a certain limitation on things he could say.
That's interesting. Bill writes back, Matthews could have said, I forgot about Obama's race. I believe that's what he meant. It's like saying, sometimes race seems to be an issue for some people, but tonight I didn't even think about it, period. Anyone who wants to turn that remark into anything more is just looking to start a fight, pure and simple. What do you think? Are people looking to start a fight here? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE and let us know.
And back to the actual address, we're looking for your reactions.
My name is Miriam Paisner from Boulder, Colorado. I noticed there was no mention whatsoever of the environment, which is collapsing. Ken Salazar is allowing the roundup of wild horses. They're proposed to reopen horse slaughterhouses in 7 states, and Obama's done nothing to stop that. I voted for Obama. I'm not sure I would do it again.
Thanks to all of you who got so involved in our State of the Union coverage. You can still weigh in on that. And because the Grammys are this weekend, we're asking you to combine these two things together. What is the soundtrack for your State of the Union? What song or piece of music expresses the state of our union right now? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, the State of Our Union continues with more conversation with the head of U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus.